All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm glad you came. It's kind of nice to see everybody now that we have one service. We get to see each other. I just want to say happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Woohoo! Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. You are the awesome, the one and only Father. We thank you for loving us, your children. And God, I just ask that you be with me this morning and use me to speak your words. And I pray that each person will get out of this message what you want them to, in spite of me, Lord. We ask and say this all in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So Pastor Kevin out doing a wedding, so you guys are stuck with me today. And with it being Father's Day, what else to speak about but dads, right? So dads, might be a little bit rough on you today, so just be prepared, okay? The good Lord has given us a great responsibility. He has given us a great honor and great power. And with that great honor and great power does come a great responsibility. I'm going to start out this morning. A lot of you know that I'm a statistics guy, so I'm just going to rattle off some statistics that when I first found out that I was going to be a father and found out that it was going to be a girl, which I had no clue about, I went and got a book that says how to be a father to little girls. And the first chapter, I was about ready to quit. Because the first chapter, he went through the statistics. And they went to the prisons, and they surveyed all the prisoners and stuff. And in the men's prison, 93% of all the guys in prison either had a dad who was absent, wasn't around, or else he was a bad dad. They went to the women's prison, and they did the exact same questionnaire and stuff. 97% of all the women who were in prison either had a dad that wasn't around, no dad at all, or a bad dad. Wow, that scared me how much power God gave us dads. And with that power comes a huge responsibility, knowing that I can mess up a little person's life. That just scared me. I was about ready to quit after reading that first chapter. And if you ask anybody about their dad, they will either speak about them with love and respect, or they will speak about them with sorrow. Another statistic that is said that they went and they surveyed anywhere from college kids on up to full-grown adults and asked them about their dads. 86% of the people they surveyed were still looking for their dad's approval and their dad's love. Wow. So dads, we need to tell our children that they're loved. And you go, oh, wait a minute, you don't know what my kid's doing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. In Romans 5, verse 8, it says, but God showed his love for us that while we were still sinners, he sent his only son. It doesn't mean you have to tell your kids you approve of what they're doing, but you have to tell your kids that they're loved. We have to. And dads, we also need to tell our children they're forgiven, and maybe ask for their forgiveness. The story of the prodigal son. His dad, the kid came to his dad and says, Dad, give me the money. I want my money. And he went out and he spent it on wild and frivolous things and just totally completely ruined his life. He ran away. And when he came back, his dad greeted him with open arms, let him know that he was loved and that he was forgiven. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against the other, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. We need to be the example to our children that they are forgiven. Because you know what? None of us are perfect. We make mistakes, except for me. So what is the purpose of us dads? If we are called to be a good dad, how do we be a good dad? Well, the Bible gives us the guidelines. The best verse that I came through, I sifted through quite a few of them. The one that I saw that was the best was Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. That is what he called us to do. He didn't call us to send him to college. He didn't call us to teach him good morals. He called us to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, our children are looking at us. They learn from us. And they learn from what we do. They learn from our actions way more than they do from our words. They learned everything from us. They learn their values from us. Is it okay to tell a little white lie? I caught a fish this big. Well, then they transfer that out. Well, yeah, this is wrong, except in this area. They learn that from us. They learn where their values are. In Proverbs 20, verse 7, it says, the righteous who walk in integrity, blessed are his children after him. Why are his children blessed? Because they were raised in righteousness and integrity. They're starting up here. Yes, they make their own choices. But they're not starting down here with bad training and trying to figure out good training. They're starting up here. That's why they're blessed. The second thing our children learn from us is they learn their identity. Am I good? Am I bad? When we tell our children, you know, you're screwing up, they start to believe it. They're a screw up. If we tell our children that, oh, yeah, you made a mistake, but God can help us. You're doing great. We can encourage them. We can strengthen them. They learn their identity from us, their worth. The statistics showed that the number one question every boy is asking, number one question, am I good enough? Do I have what it takes? How do they know if they're good enough? How do they know if they're a man? How do they know if they have what it takes? They look at their dad and ask, do I have what it takes? Am I good enough? The number one fear that boys have is fear of failure. That's the number one thing that they have. Well, wait a minute. If our number one fear is the fear of failure, don't we all mess up? Don't we all fail? Well, yes. But where is the dad to encourage them in that? Proverbs 24, verse 16. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble and are no more. So dads, we need to train them. Are you going to stumble? Yes. But that's okay. Everybody stumbles. It's what you do when you stumble. That's what matters. That's what matters if you got what it takes. Girls, what is the biggest question every girl asks? The biggest question every girl asks is, am I loved? Sometimes they do that by, am I pretty enough or am I funny enough? But their question is, am I loved? And if they don't find that answer from their dad, they go and look for it, sometimes not in the best places. What is the girl's biggest fear? The biggest fear is the fear of abandonment. That I'm going to make a mistake and I'm not really loved and they're gone. So a girl needs to know that no matter what, if you make a mistake, you are loved. Sure, you make a mistake and I'm not happy with what you did, but you are loved. Girls need to know that. And the third thing that our children get from us, and this is a scary one, is how to relate to their heavenly father. If they can't relate to their earthly father, how can they relate to their heavenly father? We as dads need to show them that relationship and guide them in that. And the scary thing is God holds us, guys, as responsible. In Genesis, when the fall happened, it says, but the Lord called on the man and said to him, where are you? What have you done? He didn't call anybody else. God is looking to us. He holds us responsible. So what are these responsibilities that he holds us for? I kind of think of them as the three P's is the easiest way for me to remember them. The first one, as a priest, we are the spiritual leader of our family. On that day, when our children ask, are they going to say, oh man, I should have listened to you? Or are they going to say, why didn't you tell me? God gives us all a choice. And yes, it's sadness when we don't walk in his direction. So our children, we need to give them the choice. Yes, it hurts and it saddens if they are not walking in the right direction. But that's not our responsibility. It is their choice. Our responsibility is, did you tell them? On that day, it comes like, oh man, Dad, I should have listened to you. You're like, oh, I know. I'm sorry. But if they come to us and say, why didn't you tell me? That's all on us. In Joshua 24, verse 15, he says, and if it is evil for you to serve the Lord, choose from this day who you will serve. If you will serve the gods of your fathers on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites who are in the land that we are dwelling. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Dads, are we setting the example? Are we setting what is important? Is God number one in your life? We are the example for our kids. The second one for the P is a protector. In Psalms 27, verse 3, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. So if these children are a reward for us, then shouldn't we be taking really, really good care of them? They went to schools, and they talked to the school counselor. Says, what is the number one reason kids come in and talk to you? I'm like, oh, probably for bullying, right? The number one reason that across the board, I mean, it beat everything out by a long shot, was they're overwhelmed. They came across all this stuff, and they were so overwhelmed, and there was nobody there to guide them through it. They were coming to the counselor and asking for guidance because they were just so overwhelmed with all these things that they're being bombarded with. So dads, we are their protector. We protect them from being overwhelmed. Be the one who's there to guide them and to protect them. And then number three, which most of us think is the most important one, but it's actually not. It's number three down on the list, is the provider. Everybody goes, well, he's got a roof over his head, he's got clothes on his back, he's got food in his tummy, what do you got to complain about? Right? Being a good dad. Yes, we are called to do that. But that's number three on the list. Number one, we need to provide for their spiritual. Number two, we provide for the emotional. And then number three is the physical and the financial part of it. Okay? The thing that I encourage each and every one of you here is when your kid comes and bucks you, not if, when your kid comes and bucks you, realize it's not them, okay? It is not them that you're fighting against. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of the heavenly realms. That's who we're fighting against. The devil is telling your child a lie. And he bucks you, asking, is this the truth or is this a lie? So are you then going after the child? Or are you going after that lie that the devil's been telling him? I read a statistic here a couple weeks ago, and it really really helped me to understand this. The devil kind of has three different ways he attacks. The first one he attacks is I don't exist. So therefore, if I don't exist, either you are screwing up or your child is screwed up, one or the other. Because I don't exist. So that's a lie he tells us. So he gets us going against each other rather than against him. And if we realize the real battle, so we fight against him rather than against our child, he throws everything in the kitchen sink at us. He attacks us with everything he has to try and drive us away. But I encourage you, in 1 John 4:4, you, your children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than he is in the world. In John 4, verse 7, submit yourselves then to the Lord. Resist the devil, and he will flee. The devil's already defeated. All we got to do is call upon the Lord and fight him, and he's defeated foe. But make sure we're fighting the right battle. And then the third one that he does is once He goes, okay, they know that I exist, and they're fighting against me, so I strike a deal. Right? Isn't that what they do when the armies charge each other, and all of a sudden my army's small, and that's a big one, so I go and try and make a peace treaty, right? So he comes to us and says, hey, you've done pretty good. You've lived a good life, and you've helped out in the church a lot, and you've raised some good kids and stuff. How about if you knock it off, I'll knock it off. He makes a deal. He goes, you've done enough. It's time for you to kick back and relax. That way I can kick back and relax. And I really feel as though that's one that the devil has won big time. Another statistic in that book, in that first chapter, was that a dad spends an average of less than 2 minutes a day with each child. Like, wow. 2 minutes a day. If I'm only spending 2 minutes a day with my child, who's influencing them? Who's influencing that child? They did a study back in the 50s, and they put before the kids, who is the biggest influence in your life? Give me the top five. And it came back, parents, number one. Church is number two influence in my life. School is number three. Friends. And then media and TV. That book, I believe it was written in like 2007 or something like that. And they had just redone that test. And it blew me away. Who's the greatest influence? They didn't give them any choice. They said, of these five, who are the greatest influences? Number one, my friends are the biggest influence in my life. Number two was the TV and media. Number three, school. What I'm being taught in school. Then parents made number four. And church, dead last. Wow, how did we make such a flip? Because the devil has convinced us, back off, and then I'll back off. He has convinced us of such a lie. It was said, and I don't remember who said it, it says a successful fatherhood is the key to a godly generation. It takes one generation of not being the godly dad, and we lose a generation. He also in that quote said, we have weak nations because we have weak governments. We have a weak government because we have weak churches. We have weak churches because we have weak families. We have weak families because we have weak dads. Wow. Like I said, after reading that first chapter in the book, I was like, I'm not sure. This is like way too big of a responsibility for me. We have a huge responsibility. God has given us a lot of power. And with that power, a lot of responsibility. Another one that was a statistic is that the biggest wound, especially for men, the men actually tested a lot higher on this than the women did, the biggest wound in adulthood was dad. Because the children look up to dad, and they're the responsibility and the love in the house. And so therefore, the dad has a great power to wound. And a lot of the counselors and pastors and stuff, when they were given this survey, they said, yes, by far the hardest thing that we struggle with is the wounds from dad and trying to get that person to forgive because they don't want to forgive. Because there's another lie that the devil tells us, that if we forgive, then we're saying what they did is okay. And that is not the case. That is a lie from him. We need to forgive because there was something done wrong. When we forgive, we are saying that there was something done wrong. There was an offense. We need to forgive them and break that chain. Because statistics say that the women, your daughters, will be looking for their dad. Statistics in that book that said if the dad was an alcoholic, it was an 87% chance that your daughter was going to marry an alcoholic because that's what they look for. It's like, wow. We need to be very, very careful with this huge responsibility. And we need to forgive so that It was, I forget who said this saying, but I love this saying. It says, forgiveness is setting somebody free and finding out that that was me. When you forgive somebody, you're not setting them free. You're setting yourself free. So that's why we need to forgive, is to set ourselves free. In Malachi 4, verse 6, it says, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. If not so, then I will strike this land with utter destruction. I'm seeing that here in the U.S. so bad. We are going the wrong direction. There is starting to be that utter destruction. We need to turn our hearts back towards our children. We need to have our children turn their hearts back to us. Only way we can do that is to let them know that they are forgiven, and maybe we need to ask for their forgiveness, depending on where you are. So how do we do this forgiveness? That's a tough thing to do. I look at the Bible verse that all things are possible through him who strengthens me. And I encourage each and every one of you to go and do that in person. You're like, well, yeah, but my child won't even talk to me anymore. Now, here's a way to get your child to talk to you, okay? Call them up. Just say, I love you, and hang up. I guarantee you they're going to call you back. Just call them, say, I love you, goodbye. Hang up. They're going to call you back. I can almost guarantee it. When we talk to them, we need to forgive. Be that your child or be that your dad or what have it. We need to talk to them and forgive them freely and willingly. Not a conditional forgiveness. Not a, well, I'm trying to justify what I did. We just need to forgive them freely like God has forgiven us. Guys, we need to get together and encourage each other. If God has given us such a powerful power, we need to encourage each other and spur each other on to keep each other focused so that we don't mess this up. In Hebrews 10, verse 24, do not neglect the meeting together and encouraging each other and spurring one another on, even more so as the days come to an end. We all know that we're getting closer and closer to that day. So that means we should be getting together more, not less. We need to really encourage each other. Men, we need to encourage each other. And if there's any of you out there that have been a little bit too convicting and stuff for you today, I encourage you. The Bible says he is faithful and true, and he forgives anybody who asks. So if you need to ask for forgiveness, that's fine. Don't beat yourself up, because that is another lie that the devil is telling us. He forgives us freely. All we have to do is ask. There is a song that I found that I think it says it even way better than I can, so...
just like like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. Got to admit I've got so far to go. Make so many mistakes, and I'm sure that you know. Sometimes it seems no matter how hard I try, with all the pressures in life, I just can't get it all right. But I'm trying so hard to learn from the best, being patient and kind, feel your tenderness, 'cause I know that he learned from the things that he sees, and the Jesus he finds will be the Jesus in me. Lord, I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I wanna be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can be. I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. Right now, from where he stands, I may seem mighty tall, but it's only 'cause I'm learning from the best father of them all. Lord, I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. Wanna be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be like me. I wanna be just like you, he wants to be like me.
Let's go ahead and pray. Oh, thank you, God, for the great responsibility that you have given us dads. Please guide each of us, help each of us to be an example of you, because those little ones do want to be like us. Please guide us, help us to show your love to these little ones. Help us to forgive, help us to ask for forgiveness when we need to, Lord. And most of all, I just want to thank you for being the perfect father. And even if our father was not good here on earth, we know that our heavenly father is perfect, and we can always, always come to you. I ask and say this all in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I've got a couple of announcements. The little blue guy here is the bulletin that has all kinds of cool stuff in it. What's going on? So front and center is VBS, starts tomorrow. After church here, if any of you want to hang around, we're going to finish setting up real quick. And then if any of you could come and help either Wednesday afternoon or Thursday for teardown, that would be great. We are still looking for a lot of teardown help. And we've got everything covered, but there's a few places that we're having to ask people to kind of run double duty. So if you have from 9 to noon, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to come down, I know that there is some help that is still needed. And also, this has kind of been a bigger VBS, and so if monetarily, if God is calling you to do that, that would be great. Next Sunday is going to be the Youth Destination Unknown. That is those from 6th grade on up. We head off someplace and have fun together, and nobody knows where we're going. Actually, I do, so if you parents want to know where your kid's going, I could tell you. Camp Pinecroft is next month. And then I think most of you got it that we're down to one service through the summer. But we are also doing the adult Sunday school class at 9 o'clock before that, if any of you want to come and attend that. And there is childcare during that. So if you have kids, more than welcome to come. And everybody else, come. We have a book. If anybody wants information about that, it's in the bulletin. All right. Thank you and have a good week. God bless.